the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It's Tuesday, July 16th, and the earth is shaking.
Yeah, baby. It's hot. Hot here in the city. Hot here all over the country. And I'll tell you what. The hottest thing in the world is, where is Chris Paul going?
Where and for what draft picks have to be exchanged for this to happen as well?
Okay. Those of you who listen to the podcast know that you and I are not Chris Paul fans.
I think I dislike him more than you.
Yeah, I'm not like, oh, I hate Chris Paul with a passion, but yeah, Chris Paul's a little corny, and you know, he could be a little, you know, a little more likable, but I think he's a good player, and I don't think that I think that people are giving him absolutely no respect right now. And
deservedly so.
And on the Rule of Threes podcast, we give Chris Paul the small amount of respect that I think he deserves, which is just a little more than the negative respect he's getting right now.
And I think he deserves a little less than that. I wish no ill will on Chris Paul. I just wish on him what he wishes on, say, LeBron James's shoulder when he tries to rip it out of his socket.
Okay, or what about Rajon Rondo's face when he tries to do a slap to it.
Or someone else's balls when he tries to do a nut punch.
Or his house when he invites Clutch over and they are playing a halftime show.
What is that?
In a State Farm commercial.
Oh. He has Clutch. Oh, Clutch. I thought you meant Rich Paul's Clutch Sports.
Oh, yes. No. Clutch with a C. Or actually, is Clutch the Houston Rockets with a K?
I think it's a C. Okay. Because I think Clutch City is... with a C.
Yes, it is with a C. Okay, so Clutch is over at Chris Paul's house, and he had just got new windows installed. That
and
were
he had his T-shirt
proof.
Gun?
Yeah, the T-shirt gun. You've seen this one.
I have. I actually have not seen the one where James Harden like burns down his kitchen or something.
They're just fine. They're just fine.
They're actually kind of perplexing why State Farm sees these two guys and goes like, yeah, this is really selling our brand.
Don't you remember when...
Two somewhat charismatic guys who are two of the least liked players outside of their fan bases in the NBA.
Yeah, don't you remember when they had like four different point guards who all had Chris Paul, Cliff Paul kind of guys?
And other people were doing it?
Yeah, Steph Curry had one.
I did not know that.
I believe Steve Nash had... I don't know. There were just a bunch of other point guards who all had State Farm agents who were separated at birth.
I wonder how much of this is just the fact that the red of State Farm and the Houston Rockets red just is a nice synergy.
That is probably part of it, which is why it makes sense that Chris Paul is headed
to the
Miami Heat.
Oh, wait, did that happen yet?
No, it hasn't happened yet. Okay. But, you know, everybody knows that it's going to happen. It's one of those inevitable moves.
So Chris Paul was traded to the OKC Thunder.
That's right.
For Russell Westbrook. And the Rockets also had to give up,
a lot of disrespect put on Chris Paul's name.
I mean, that he is, I think, four draft picks worse than Russell Westbrook.
That's what people are saying.
For first round draft picks.
That's what people are saying.
But the idea is that he's probably not going to stay in OK, because they don't really, they've definitely rebooted. So
yeah.
I don't know why they would want to keep him if they could move him.
I also don't know why they'd want him, other than he's a player that can help your team get to the playoffs and lose in the first round.
Yeah.
Which
him plus Steven Adams and draft picks.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari back in the mix.
That's true.
Team could definitely get the 13th seed in the expanded playoffs this year.
They'll be in the top 15 in the Western Conference.
I think that's a good call.
The last thing I heard was that Miami is open to the idea of trading for him, but they want picks as well. Like, they want
picks. They want the picks?
Yeah, they want picks to accept his... It's mostly because of his contract.
Got it.
I don't even know how that would work. Do they have to... Is this a thing where they have to come within a certain percentage of his contract?
Well, so yes. The amount that they send out has to be within a certain amount of his contract. I believe it is...
Like 15% or something?
No, there's 150% plus that you can have come in.
Okay.
Here's the deal is that Miami doesn't want to take much more salary because they're hard capped with the Jimmy Butler sign and trade. So their max is right at the luxury tax with is like $137 million in their cap this year.
Uh-huh.
So what would happen is they would have to get him and send out more than they are receiving because they're really right up against that apron already.
Right.
And then when they would send it out, OKC doesn't care or need for any of those players probably because they'd be, you know, the Kelly Olynyk's, the, you know, there, I mean, they already sent Dragic. I'm sorry, not Dragic. It would probably be Dragic. But they already sent Whiteside out, who would have been a like a nice,
right?
Like not player. don't twist my words here. Not a nice player, but a nice chunk of salary like to nice match trade Chris Paul's.
Piece.
Yeah, just to match that.
They have Goran Dragic at 19.2.
Yeah,
they've got Myers Leonard at 11.3.
And I think they want to keep Leonard because they can't. They can't. Package him with somebody else until he's been there for a while because that trade just completed.
James Johnson
definitely could be
15.
Yeah,
so really actually because I forgot how much Chris Paul is making, but
Chris Paul's making just under 40.
Okay,
if not like about 40.
So with like Dragic and James Johnson and it's amazing that Miami Heat has a pretty high payroll.
Yeah.
They're paying over $10 million to six players. Can you name the six players?
Okay. So we got Dragic, Myers Leonard, Jimmy Butler.
I wasn't counting Jimmy. This is counting on their all their like pre moves salary.
Oh, this is pre moves, pre everything?
Yeah.
So this is including Whiteside kind of thing?
For some reason, it doesn't have Whiteside. So is there something about the Butler trade that hasn't been completed yet or something?
No, it's there.
I wonder why it's not on this sheet. Okay, so I'm looking at six people that are not Jimmy Butler or Whiteside that are scheduled to make over $10 million in this next season.
Okay. We got...
you mentioned Dragic and Myers Leonard.
Dragic and Leonard. The other guy from the trade, I think it was Harkless.
Oh, Harkless. I don't, actually, tell me, some of these people might have been moved already.
Damn. Well, just name them.
Yeah, James Johnson.
James Johnson, yeah.
He's Deion Waiters.
Waiters still on the team.
Justice Winslow.
Winslow still on the team.
Kelly Olynyk.
Olynyk still on the team.
That's it. But those six guys, Dragic, Johnson, Waiters, Winslow, Olynyk, Leonard, are all making $11.2 million or more.
Right. So
they have pieces to move.
They do have pieces to move. Isn't it so interesting to see a team built in the middle?
Yeah, like, but
right,
yeah.
They're not built at the top heavy, right? They've got Jimmy Butler, but they're not built right now at a top heavy thing. But they're trying to trade all their little middle pieces to get top heavy. So weird to see the economics of this NBA.
And also think about the weird decisions that got them to this roster.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's just make this trade for Miami right now. So Chris Paul is making 38.5.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, how much did I have? How much do I have to send out?
I believe you have to send out 100 and like if you're.
I have to get rid of 150% of that?
No, up to 150%.
Right? Oh, okay.
You can accept up to 150% coming back in, which means that you can accept like 2/3 of his salary.
Let's see. So if I multiply this by 0.66, is that right?
Yeah.
You're the math major.
Yep.
25.4.
Okay, so you got to get over 25.4, but you also have to worry about the cap max for Miami too, because Miami hitting that cap max is not allowed.
Okay,
so and I think they're pretty close already, so they'd have to match about that $40 million.
Oh, okay, so they might have to send three of these guys.
Yeah,
something so. Like that. I would say send three of these guys. Like,
I mean, it's going to be.
By the way, I don't love Chris Paul, but I mean like. Send three of them.
Dragic, Johnson, Waiters. Send Waiters back to OKC. The island is still there.
Yeah, that gets them to like $47 million.
Right, and that works.
Okay, because OKC can also accept up to 150%.
Yes, and they're not hard capped either.
And then once they accept 150%,
they can
send Miami can accept 150% of that back, yeah. And that's how the cap works.
Is this inflation?
Is
this
how it keeps going up until
150? Yeah, I mean, really, truly, you can do that.
Yeah, if they were like, because these guys don't have restrictions on like how soon they can be traded.
No, like if you were to trade your people for ever increasing salaries,
right.
You could find a way to make your salary cap so oppressively large,
yeah,
that you'd just be paying billions and billions. And
well, for players like Dion Waiters, I think it'd be worth it.
It's worth it. It's very worth it.
I think I can't wait to hear stories about the truth about the Harden Paul situation.
Ooh. I mean, so does that mean that the rumors that we got before were not the full truth?
I mean, Daryl Morey came out and said there's no problem, and he specifically said Chris Paul will be on this team next season.
Yeah, and Chris Paul is being on a team.
He will play at
He didn't say which team he was talking about. He said this team, but he could have been secretly pointing to the Heat.
Yeah, plus he will play at the Toyota Center this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Once at least.
Once, for sure.
I've thought this for a while. I really think this is the last dice roll on Daryl Morey's legacy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think that his philosophy of we just go out and grab the best people we can has not really proven to be a great thing.
No, I mean, the other signings around James Harden have not been as additive as we think they could have been. You know, you had Dwight Howard who came in.
Yeah.
That didn't work out. You had, all the people at the beginning of the Houston tenure with James Harden, and it just didn't work.
They haven't shown, they've picked out some, I think they've actually this year, they made some good picks or good additions. I think Austin Rivers pretty much worked out.
Great pickup.
I love
how
PJ Tucker.
Mad am I that Austin Rivers is a great pickup.
I mean, you're half as mad as I'm going to be when Chris Paul ends up on the Lakers.
Oh, no. There's one way Chris Paul ends up on the Lakers, right? If someone decides to waive him and not stretch his contract, it just doesn't make any sense for anyone to pay him $120 million for him to play for the Lakers.
I was reading that he could be bought out for $95 million or something, or something crazy.
Yeah, if you
you can write off 30% of it or something.
Yeah, there's he could definitely do that, but it just, what a weird situation that would be.
Yeah,
and
also horrible for me because then Chris Paul would be on the team that I root for.
Yes, that would be pretty bad.
I'm probably not good, not bad for the team. Sure. But, how do you think this Harden Westbrook team's going to work out?
Weirdly.
Yeah.
Right? Putting these two guys on the same team as they are playing right now is so weird and so strange. I don't know what's going to happen. I think that Russell Westbrook, if he plays like he played in Oklahoma City, would take this team from being maybe the best team in the West, which is what their ceiling was last, before any of this happened, and turn them into, a 6th to 8th seed, right? Wow. But I guess maybe if you're able to convince him to play a different way, I don't know what way that is. He's not a great defender anymore. Maybe he can focus on defense. Maybe he can focus on setting the table, but that's not what his skills lend themselves to. He's an aggressive, ball dominant guard.
Yeah.
Who runs a team.
I mean, historically ball dominant.
Historically ball dominant. And now you have two historically ball dominant guards on the same team.
Yeah.
And maybe, it's time to admit it. You know, we need to add basketballs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There needs to be more basketballs on the court.
Subtract goals.
Subtract
one basketball, goals. No way to score.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I guess that's going in the other direction, but absolute value from my proposition, it's the same distance.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
How about this? Two basketballs, two goals, right?
Yeah.
No defense. You're not allowed to cross half
court.
No
defense. Okay.
So then the question is just in 48 minutes, how many baskets can you score?
Wait, can we put a chair there so we can do some real post moves?
Yes, you can each have one chair.
One chair. Side. Okay, all right.
You good. Can either have one chair or one Mark Eaton.
Yeah, got it. Yes, the Mark Eaton slander on this podcast is strong.
So that way they wouldn't have to play defense.
Yeah, no defense. And that's not to say that these guys can't play defense.
Oh, I mean, of course, because there is probably no one on the planet that's more physically suited to playing defense than Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Like, if you were designing physical skills in NBA 2K to, like, play defense, to be quick and strong,
yeah,
and relentless, it would be Russell Westbrook. He just doesn't have the mindset. I mean, it's fascinating. Like, he doesn't even have the mindset to play offense when he doesn't have the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's fascinating. It's like his general demeanor when not touching the ball is so different than when he has it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, like, see it.
You can see it in his steals numbers, right? When he's on the ball, playing on-ball defense, he gets steals.
Yeah.
Right? He'll deflect passes, but he won't pay attention to his guy when he is not holding the ball.
Well, also on offense, he also has the motor, if he wanted to go, like, if he's off ball with Harden, he could be like a Rip Hamilton level, like, constantly distorting the defense and running around. And when you see him off ball with the Thunder, I know some of it was that I guess he had to carry a lot of load and was fatigued, but this would happen, like, early in the season and early in games too, where he just passes the ball and just, like, stands there.
Hear me out. What if the goal here in getting both of these guys is to only play them opposite each other?
I've heard this, that, like, they would basically each have, like, 10 to 14 minutes per game where it's just them on the court.
I don't even think that the 10 to 14 minutes is right. I think, like, 20 to 22 minutes per game, right? You start them both because they both have to be starters. And at the 4-minute mark, you sub one of them out and you just switch them back and forth. And it's like a load management thing.
Yeah. Right? Oh, so you mean they're both playing only like
28 minutes a game.
I don't see that happening. But maybe.
And maybe they both play the last 4 minutes and they lose every clutch game. Right? I don't know how to do this other than... If, like, it's an ultra, like, think about like next level galaxy brain Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
Right?
This is the Morey that I don't think actually exists.
Yeah. The Morey that we're inventing in our mind.
Well, I think he has this reputation for being this mastermind, and I think it's overrated.
It makes so much sense to have them both be rested at the end of the season, right? Where they don't play a ton. You know, the regular season is a grind. And if you play both of them 29, 30 minutes a game and stagger them as much as possible, you have that same team that you had last year, basically, right? Yeah. Because when Chris Paul and James Harden played together, Chris Paul didn't play that great.
Yeah.
Now imagine if you can switch up.
The team also played really well when Chris Paul was on the court by himself.
Imagine if you can switch up your offensive philosophy in such a way where you have a James Harden team and a Russell Westbrook team, and you play differently when either of them are on the court. Right, and you have to put both of those looks, and you pound defense back and forth with them all the time. Ooh, I'm talking myself into this.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I mean, I know I'm wrong, but like, what if it happened?
Because one thing is that their egos won't let them do that. They're not going to play under 30 minutes a game. I think.
I mean, yes, two of the guys who are as stat chasey. Players as we have in our league
who have both played at MVP levels,
Ricky Davis level shooting it to yourself off the backboard, triple double style,
right? And also one of the problems too is that it doesn't really give you two different offensive looks because it's both one guy taking all the shots.
They're different, right?
James I know Harden, they're different.
James Harden is all about step backs and layups.
Yeah.
Right? And Russell Westbrook is all about bad step backs and layups. Right?
Bad step backs, layups, and bad mid-range jumpers.
Terrible mid-range jumpers.
I think that we have a lot of evidence, even when it works well, that the egos that we perceive of these players in the NBA in general, when they get matched up with each other, that a lot of our instincts about how it's going to go tend to bear out pretty, like, we're in, and when I say we, I mean the casual fans like us.
Yeah, guys who know stuff.
Like, the idea that KD never really fit in Golden State is basically true.
Yeah.
Like, he left.
He's
and
gone.
Also, a fair number of stories have come out. There's just like, it was a good working relationship. They got to the finals three times and they won twice. But he never really felt like our perception of him as kind of being an outsider was true.
Yeah.
the feeling that when Chris Paul and James Harden were going to team up, the feeling that they're both pretty ball dominant and it, you know, maybe wasn't going to be the best chemistry seems to have been proven true.
Yeah.
And also, I see a lot of wishful thinking right now that Russell Westbrook is going to change his game in any way at all. Like, like the idea that he's going to, like, I read one that, like, for example, the idea that, like, he's just going to sublimate his game to Harden's and focus on doing all the little things. Like, there's no evidence in his career that he does
that. Now, hang on. Other players have done that to be in Houston, like Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
Dwight Howard.
Right. Carmelo Anthony, I remember, came to the Rockets and he said, like,
I'm going to get rebounds. Uh-huh. I'm going to, you know, just shoot the open J. I'm going to play defense.
Also, Carmelo Anthony in Oklahoma City, I think, was very open to coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And said so in a press conference.
And Carmelo Anthony in Chicago.
I don't even remember this little.
Yeah, he was in Chicago because they traded for him and then they waived him.
Oh, that's right.
So he may or may not have ever gotten on a plane.
Carmelo Anthony also might end up on the Lakers, right?
I mean, there's a chance there's an open spot, but what does he add? I mean, I guess the Lakers are short on front court players.
The question, what does Carmelo Anthony add, has never been asked.
Dun, dun, dun.
Especially before being signed. I think that, like, if you're a listener to this podcast and you follow basketball as much or more than us, whatever your, like, gut instinct about how these players are going to mesh, I think for the most part has been proven true.
Okay, so what you're saying is listen to your gut and don't listen to your galaxy brain?
Yeah, don't listen to your Daryl Morey galaxy brain, which is just like, just get the best players. It doesn't matter if they, I mean, play the same position and use the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Last playoffs, was it, or end of regular season, I remember Russell Westbrook saying that he, sarcastically saying that he was going to work on his shooting over the summer.
Yes.
That's the kind of, like, attitude that I see coming from this setup. So I think, first of all, Houston's no longer on my run it back team list.
No, they are not.
And I don't like Houston that much, even though I'm from Houston. I must say, kind of like him a little more now.
Oh.
So now with the Westbrook Harden, if I'm wrong, let's say I'm wrong about all this. If last year it was a nightmare to me, the idea that Paul was going to win a championship, and I wasn't crazy about the idea of James Harden winning one, but as currently composed, I don't think I'd be too mad if the Harden Westbrook team won a ring.
Wow.
And that's just a testament to how much I hate Chris Paul.
Okay. Now, can you, if you are just like being as objective as possible, which team is better, the Rockets with Westbrook or the Rockets with Chris Paul?
Ooh.
I mean, and we don't know. We haven't seen the Westbrook team play. We've seen the Chris Paul team play.
Yeah.
This is just a, like, let's pretend you don't hate Chris Paul with your entire body.
Were there any other roster changes? Okay, here, put it this way. The best version of it was 2 years ago when they had Ariza and all that, and they, like, basically almost got to the conference finals.
Yes.
I'm going to say that I personally think they should have just run back the same team.
Okay.
So that is, in effect, saying that I think the Chris Paul version is better.
Yeah.
Because I think that for it's very rare to put superstars together and do well in the first season anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I don't expect the Lakers to win the ring this year either.
No.
And
then Anthony Davis will leave to Minnesota in free agency.
Yeah, there you go. The first year of the Miami Heat didn't go super well with the super team.
The first director of Space Jam 2, he's not there anymore.
He's not directing the second one.
They fired the director of Space Jam 2.
Who was that?
Person.
McG.
Yeah.
And they hired, I wanted to say Nikola Tesla, but that he's not a film director.
No.
He's coming up in a movie soon in a trailer that I saw the other day that I was not interested at all.
Oh.
It's called The Current War.
Ooh.
It's about Tesla versus Edison versus Westinghouse.
Wow.
A character and it's got that
Seth Rogen as Nikola Tesla.
No, it's got someone who is it? It's the kid from
it's got Spider-Man.
I think it's Nicholas Holt, maybe.
And then the other guy is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is Benedict Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch, Tom Holland, and Nicholas Holt in Let's Be British, the movie.
Wait, were you just guessing that it was Benedict Cumberbatch?
I think I've seen the...
I'm sorry. It is Tom Holland.
Tom Holland.
As someone named Samuel Insull.
Ooh.
It is Nicholas Holt as Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
Because you just cast people that have similar first names.
Yes.
And the only thing that kind of makes me want to see it is it's Michael Shannon as George Westinghouse.
Ooh, Michael Shannon as George Westinghouse.
I did not know.
He's the guy who makes all those TVs for Best Buy.
Well, I didn't know Westinghouse was a character in this saga, and I wouldn't be surprised if after the fact it turns out that it was that Westinghouse was like a minor character and that they just needed to have some character that wasn't foreign, like Nikola Tesla,
yeah,
be like a major narrative figure. So,
I had seen a poster for this. That's why I knew the names.
How are you feeling about the current Los Angeles Lakers roster?
Well, the current war is probably like, I don't know, 15 wins above replacement for that team.
Mm-hmm.
That's way high and bad.
Wait, you were saying the current war as in...
wins above replacement.
You weren't making a reference to the movie we were just talking about.
Oh, no, I definitely was making a reference, but I was doing both. I was being cheeky. Oh,
that's very...
Like a little British boy at
that
a movie.
That was very well done to the point that I didn't even notice.
The current the way, war weirdly, in theaters, July 25th. 26th?
Is it really?
No, I have no idea when it's coming.
October 4th.
The current war in theaters, October 4th.
Did we talk about this last time? Like, yeah, I think
well, the roster set. It was already. We haven't signed anybody new, so there's nothing new.
It's still pretty good.
It's still pretty good. I mean, like,
oh, I think I thought of it the other day because I was looking at someone else's roster. Was it Houston's or someone else? And I was like,
they're not good. Was it the Clippers?
Well, it was some team that was like, if you look at 3 through 12 on this team, like, they're not any better than the
like the Nets. Or the Raptors, or the Philadelphia 76ers. There's some news. Ben Simmons signed his max extension.
Uh-huh.
So congrats to him for getting that money. Rich Paul getting more people paid.
I think that's a good move.
I mean, he's a really good player, and I think that he'll only get better.
I think he's a good player that is young and like... I guess the question is, does he ever have to be able to shoot jump shots? I think not really, actually. I mean, I think it would be great if he did. Then he'd become like, I guess, there's a lot of max players in the league right now with flaws in their game.
Yeah.
Like significant flaws.
Yeah, like Chris Middleton.
Uh-huh.
And his flaw is that he's not a max level player.
What happened to Tobias Harris?
Tobias Harris... $10 million Did he get a less max? Than a max over the course of the deal.
Okay, so
technically not a max player.
Pretty close, though.
Technically not, though.
Yeah. Chris Middleton did get a max.
No, he got just about $10 million less, right?
Oh, I thought he did get maxed.
I think
we talked about last time that
I think they both got a little less than the max. Not enough to keep Malcolm Brogdon, but enough to get Giannis a baseball coach. I don't know if you saw that, but the Yankees had Giannis visit Yankee Stadium to try to recruit him to the Knicks. I don't know.
Really?
They had him bat off a tee, and believe it or not, Giannis Antetokounmpo can't play baseball.
I believe that. Can't imagine that in Greece it's a huge...
No. The Greek baseball tradition starts and ends with Kevin Youkilis, who I think... Oh. Kevin Youkilis is probably your kind of guy.
I like Euclid. I mostly remember him because of fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
Is he part of the Moneyball world at some point?
Who part of Moneyball?
Well, Kevin Euclid, I can't remember if he was mentioned either in Moneyball or in Michael Lewis's later writings about the Moneyball world.
Don't remember.
Because I believe that the Red Sox also took up like a Moneyball approach at some point. Huh. And Euclid might have been one of their finds along those lines.
Because he's a walks guy.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if He's a money ball guy, though.
There's plenty of baseball players that are very attractive to me.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Kevin Youkilis was central to a specific chapter in Moneyball.
He was?
Yep. The Greek god of walks.
That's right. And I think also because he didn't look the part, really.
Yeah.
Of being like, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't like a, I'm a big, strong baseball man.
As I was saying, there's lots of baseball players that I like.
Yeah.
I just don't super love the sport.
Yeah.
And the sport that I'm most a fan of, the NBA, has the fewest number of players that I find attractive. Almost zero.
Bummer.
It would be like I don't even know if I could put it together like a starting five.
Yeah.
I probably could historically.
Yeah.
It would be like Big Country.
Yeah.
Khalid El Amin.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in 10 years, Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. Bummer.
Maybe Shaq. May throw Shaq in there. I feel like, am I going on a limb? I feel like anyone in the world would probably hook up with Shaq. Because if he was if he expressed interest in you.
Yeah.
I would say most people would hook up with him just to be able to tell the story.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Carter wrote a story just about playing pickup against him. Right?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, a hookup, that's even more of a story. Imagine if Aaron Carter wrote a song about hooking up with Shaq. That would be wild.
Well, this is, you know, a factor of, like, celebrities in general.
Yeah.
That you hook up with them just in the story.
Interesting.
Also, shout out to Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X.
Who came out of the closet.
Our best gay country star.
Uh-huh. Our TikTok music discovery of only like two or three months ago.
When we went to the game that we were at
Clippers game?
For the meetup. Lakers Clippers? The Clippers. No, not Lakers Clippers. It was Clippers somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Clippers Nets.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh. You were telling me in the car, have you heard of this Old Town Road?
Have you heard of this Old Town Road song?
I've heard of Old Town Road, but I haven't like listened to it yet. And you played it for me. And then here we are. That's like 4 or 5 months ago.
And also like, here, have you heard of this song that's about to be number one? It's 90 seconds long.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
That's why the royalties thing is so funny, is that the song can get played over and over again and it's 90 seconds long. And do you pay the same amount of royalties for a 90-second song than like a 4-minute song?
Dunno.
Like, there is incentive for musicians to depress the length of their songs for plays.
And there's incentive for like Spotify to encourage like long songs.
Yeah.
Like, I want to pay you 0.07 cents for a 19-minute song.
I mean, this is why when I am at a bar, if there's a jukebox, I only ever play one song.
What's that?
And that song is Pyramids by Frank Ocean.
How long is that?
9 minutes long.
Whoa.
Yes, that's right. I choose a 9-minute song at the jukebox to get my fucking money's worth, because jukeboxes are a ripoff. If I wanted to listen to something for $1, what's the point?
Uh-huh.
Fuck you, jukeboxes.
Chris Middleton signed 5 years, $178 million.
I feel like that's not the max.
It doesn't quite look like a max deal to me. In the last year, he's making $40.5 million.
Yeah.
Like, it goes 30, 33, 35, 38, 40. That doesn't feel like a max. Because was Chris Paul's a super?
The difference is that there's a service time.
Oh, good Lord.
So the service time incentive for a player like him, I think, is about 30% of the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to see, because it's based off of that, what the cap is in your first year. And so that, and then you get 8% raises if you stayed with the team that you were with before.
Another point of evidence that it's not a max contract is when I Google Chris Middleton contract, the word max is not anywhere in these articles.
Yeah.
And also when I Google Chris Middleton max contract, all I get is articles saying that he's expected to sign a max contract.
Got it.
I feel like you should get a job somewhere as a capologist.
Capology. Yeah, I mean, sure. I'd definitely do that. Any NBA team willing to hire me that lives in Los Angeles, let's do this.
Well, like, you're a math major.
Math guy.
And you love this sport. And you seem to know the cop stuff in and out pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, you just might not have to live in, you might not be able to live in LA.
Yeah, I might have to move to, I mean, everybody's already got their guys, though. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
maybe I could be a junior guy.
Like, would you go somewhere and be like, I'll analyze video for you guys and just run cap analysis for you?
Yeah.
For
absolutely.
for minimum wage?
Well, that's tough.
Yeah.
The minimum wage is tough, but
okay, yeah. How about free as an intern?
Free as an intern. Yeah, definitely super tough. Let's see. How much can I double down on not making any money?
Well, the other approach would be to, as someone on a Reddit / NBA discussion.
Oh, God, so I have to be a Reddit correcting guy?
Well, I was going to say was that they posted their master's thesis, which was about analyzing the potential value of second round draft picks.
Gotcha.
So maybe, because do you have a bachelor's?
Yes.
Master's?
No.
So do your master's in Sloan conference style.
There was a period of time in my life when I was like, I'm going to go to San Diego State for my sports business master's.
Ah.
And then I was like, okay, it costs $60,000 and sports jobs pay less than other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason to do it incentive wise. Yeah. So yeah, ugh, man, tough.
Just publish a thesis.
Yeah. I'll put a thesis out there, do some research, get it peer reviewed. We'll make it happen.
A guy posted his thesis on that subreddit and I immediately was just like, this doesn't make sense. He had published like analysis of second round draft picks and their varying levels of success from like the last three drafts.
Yeah.
And I was like, is there a table that has second round draft picks from, because the oldest draft class that he analyzed was 2016. And I was like, are there any other older tables than this? Because like, I feel like it would be better to analyze from 2006.
Yeah. That thesis is bad. Just going to throw that out there.
Well, he's trying to develop a model by which you can analyze college statistics to figure out which second round draft picks would succeed.
Oh, so he not only did he do a small amount of data, he then chose an even smaller amount of data.
Like college basketball.
Yes, because sample. In the second round, more international players are picked.
That's true. College basketball, which would be a shorter schedule against a much more fragmented competitive base.
Yeah, and also just Kevin Pelton already does that.
Yeah.
Right, and was he just trying to do something that was different than his Pacoda projections?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Every advanced stat has some version of it that's can be replaced with. By the way, you know how much I love ESPN's RPM stat.
Yes, it's your favorite. And I know I found out the formula for it.
Oh, what is it?
It is how much Chris Paul plays versus how much he doesn't play. And so that's why the RPM stats have the Thunder winning the league next year.
Well, I'll tell you that I've changed my mind, and RPM is a completely valid and real stat.
Oh!
And,
what bias has it confirmed for you today?
Non-bias. This is all just very cold, clear-eyed analysis. I would like you to guess who is the number one shooting guard from the last season in ESPN's Real Plus Minus. Now, you might take
Danny Green.
It is Danny Green.
Yeah, of course.
Now, you might take this as an indication that maybe this metric is flawed.
Uh-huh, yeah, got it.
Now, you would be wrong, because I think what we clearly have indicated is
yes,
it picked, for sure, the best shooting guard.
So now that means that there is a big three in Los Angeles, because the best power forward was Anthony Davis, and the best point guard was LeBron James. Real Plus Minus means
the best shooting guard was Danny Green. We have three of the top positional players in the league. Can I run some stats by you? In Toronto, Danny Green scored 10 points a game. He grabbed 4 rebounds a game. And he gave, you know how many dimes he dropped per game?
He definitely dropped at least 3.5 dimes a game.
He dropped 1.6.
Oh, Jesus.
He is the best shooting guard in the league.
I mean, I guess shooting guard, very important. There are no shooting guards anymore.
I mean, in fact, most of these positional categories that we grew up with are kind of gone.
Yeah, there's points, bigs, and wings.
Right. Points, bigs, and wings.
And I prefer flats on the wings. I don't prefer the drums, but that just means that more drums for people who want to eat wings with me.
Oh, I see. Flats, I didn't quite process.
Yeah, they're the two bone.
By the way, did you know that I bought a gas grill? Yes.
So like
so if you're interested in having steaks
at some point. Okay, I was like, a gas grill. I was like, I also have a stove.
Sorry.
But like
an outdoor grill.
Like a one you can do barbecue stuff on.
Yes.
Yes, great.
Actually, when we're probably going to replace our indoor stovetop.
Yeah.
And I'll probably be replacing it with an induction
cooker. Induction, yes. Which
everybody swears by.
Electric, bad. Induction, good.
Yeah. Crazily enough, and this is probably a factor in why he rated so high, Danny Green's true shooting percentage for the for Toronto was 63.632.
Wow. We need to get somebody whose true shooting percentage is 818.
Uh-huh.
You know, really rep the valley in here. Well, get a 626.
I think
up
we
in
can
here.
Get one that's 323.
323 for sure. We can get a 310.
We can get a, definitely get a 213.
Yeah, I mean the Lakers have to represent all the area codes. A 424.
Right.
You know, you got a 562. That's, you know, that's very doable.
A 626.
66.
66. Yeah. Very good. So yeah, I do think it's funny that I happen to be looking at the RPM thing again, because somebody was like, who would you pick as your like top five starting team within reason? Like, and I was trying to put together like what your ideal starting five in the league that you could realistically get together.
Yeah, definitely like LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Danny Green, Kyle Kuzma, and JaVale McGee. That's like definitely my starting five.
It was hilarious actually because people on Reddit are so like, in my opinion, like prisoners of the moment. But like, but like half of the lineups included like Kuzma and like honestly putting together your top five in the league. Kuzma should not be on that many of them.
No, I think
I guess that he's in like, a good in
like,
contract.
In a realistic sense, like, yeah, he can be on some because he's, in a realistic sense, you have to have bad players on your team.
Right. It, you know what? It's like you have to have bad players on your team. You have to have, like, good bad players. Bad players that are either, like, really good at something that still might help you or yeah. just are not assholes.
Yeah.
And I would say actually that probably is a good definition of Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
So, Danny Green is basically tied with Jimmy Butler in wow. real RPM. And they are both, there's a gigantic gap. They are at both 4.73 and 4.71.
How does it feel about Klaysaf Thompson?
Low. He is his 25th on
this was Klaysaf's worst year
uh-huh.
Since he became good.
There's a gigantic gap between Danny Green, Jimmy Butler, and then third person who is, for some reason on this one, is Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo. So,
handled a lot of point guard duties.
Also, only played 30 games last season.
Still the third best shooting guard in the league.
Wow.
Chris Paul's number four on the point guard list.
Okay.
The point guard list makes a little more sense.
Is number one Damian Lillard?
No. The number one is who you think would dominate an advanced stat. Like efficiency style.
Steph Curry.
No. James Harden.
James Harden.
By,
got it.
By a big margin. And then Curry and then Lillard. Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry. Small forward.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant at third.
LeBron James.
So he's number two.
And then number one is Kawhi Leonard.
Nope, he's number five.
Oh, the number one small forward is
Kawhi Leonard's new teammate.
Wow.
Playoff
Paul George.
P.
Wow.
But you're leaving off number four, which is why OKC also just made a huge steal.
Danilo Gallinari.
Number four in the league.
That's right.
By the way, number seven is, I forget what team he's going to, Davis Bertans.
Davis Bertans going to Atlanta, Hotlanta.
And did
the
we
Spurs,
confirm?
So mad.
That's confirmed, right? That Morris yeah. is signing with the Knicks.
Morris is with the Knicks. Bullock stays with the Knicks. And the Spurs, they goofed.
It's kind of fun to see a historically well-run organization trip up a little bit.
They did a goof.
They haven't had a good 18 months.
No. It's been bad Spurs all the time.
Best power forward is Giannis. Best center is Nikola Jokic.
Yep. Okay. That all
pretty,
makes sense.
Pretty agreeable.
So what's your
yeah, those lend validity.
Yeah. The best team, like realistic team in the league would be James Harden, Danny Green,
Paul George,
Giannis Antetokounmpo, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Great. Yeah. That's realistic.
I mean, we can pretty much agree that those other four are decent picks for best person at their position.
Yeah.
So, you know, by whatever, what's the math property? If four of these things are in the fifth one, it should be like that.
Oh, if four in the fifth, that's the,
what's the thing where you prove two sides of a triangle? If you can prove side, angle, side, then these two triangles are the same.
Yeah.
Same thing there. And yeah. Now, conversely, you could also say that 4 out of 5 dentists don't recommend.
Yeah, I think that's the Colgate property.
Right. Yeah. So 4 out of 5 dentists do not recommend that Danny Green be your starting shooting guard.
Yeah. I want to do a little pivot here. Oh. A little segue. We didn't get to talk about the earthquake at Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
Because your boy was there.
Yes, you were.
I was in the stands watching the arena shake.
This was Zion Williamson. Zion was playing, right?
Through thunderous dunks. And then later, an earthquake happened.
Mm-hmm.
No joke. This was as loud as I have ever in my entire life seen Summer League. And I've been going to Summer League. This is my 5th year now.
Mm-hmm.
He took the ball, just stole it out of Kevin Knox's hands.
He like ripped it out.
Ripped it out and just crammed it home. Crammed it so hard. Everybody stood up at Summer League. Every single freaking person stood up, shouted, screamed. It was like he had won the NBA championship, but instead he had just had a steal and a dunk at Summer League.
He had made a play against a second-year player.
Yes, which is like making a play against LeBron James in Summer League.
Uh-huh.
Second-year pro players in Summer League, they're the LeBron James of Summer League.
Uh-huh.
So Kevin Knox, the only time in your life you will be referred to as the LeBron James of something just happened on this podcast.
Are there restrictions as to how old the players can be? Or
No, there are no restrictions.
They just tend to have like rookies in the second year.
Rookies and sophomores are obligated to play mm-hmm. if their team asks them to.
Mm-hmm.
Third-year players are not obligated, but they can agree.
Mm-hmm.
Any player can agree, but you just like don't if you're
like
older.
Say you're Taco Fall.
Yeah, Taco Fall. He is a rookie, so he is trying to get.
He's
a
not with
a
team, right?
He is not signed anywhere.
I watched a fair amount of Taco Fall highlights, and to me, I'm like, why not just sign him? Like, if you're a team that isn't going anywhere, sign him.
I mean, hell, if you're a team that is going somewhere, sign him, and he'll be able to look over the crowd and point you where you're going.
Well, he moves better than I thought he would.
Yes, he certainly does.
And he moves in a like when he rolls off of pick and rolls.
Yeah.
He moves in a way that resembles a basketball player.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's totally lost out on the court.
No, and he's already got the late stage Kareem Abdul-Jabbar goggles game going.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That's a Taco Fall classic right there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I mean, getting compared to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, very, very good.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, co-author of the book Mycroft and Sherlock.
Yes.
As my Amazon Prime Day launch deal, tried to sell me a mystery book written by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's right. And pretty soon they'll try to sell you the fifth season of Veronica Mars. Co-written by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He must just love mysteries.
He does love mysteries. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, a man of many mysteries, and one of them is,
why can't I get a job in the NBA?
He doesn't know. He doesn't want a job in the NBA. He wants to do all these other things. He is
no,
so,
but he has wanted a job in the NBA and like
before, but like it's been a long time. He doesn't want that anymore. He's like, he's on to bigger and better things.
But I remember it was a big question for a while, like, how come no one hires him?
Yeah.
And it seemed like the consensus was like, he's kind of a dick.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, he's older now and, you know, he's not a dick anymore. And
maybe.
Also, maybe just everybody in a writer's room is a total dick.
Maybe people on NBA staffs are dicks and people in writer's rooms are not.
Yeah.
I think that makes, that lines up with what we know about comedy writers.
Yes. Yeah,
they're all definitely super nice. And
every single comedy person we know, very nice. We love our comedy friends.
Taco Fall.
Old Taco.
If he could do a Kareem Abdul-style skyhook,
yeah,
that would be very difficult to block.
Yes, it would. You'd have to have the jump of Paul George and the length of Taco Fall.
Right. You need to have Taco Fall's height
and
Muggsy Bogues'
vertical leaping ability, yeah.
Oh,
man, that player would be a really good basketball player.
Yeah. Like basically Julius Randle plus Spud Webb's vertical is Zion.
Yeah. They canceled all the games after the earthquake for that.
So
day.
It was shaking in the stadium.
It was shaking in the stadium. All of the, you know, video and speakers and everything shaking the mm-hmm. whole time. You could feel it in your seats. We were, you know, down in the bowl as one is at Summer League.
How quickly did it the audience process?
People ran the hell out of
really?
It.
Really?
Yes. Because here's the thing. you know, you've been in California for 5 years now, right? How do earthquakes make you feel?
I'm kind of, I'm not panicked by them. I'm kind of indifferent. However, I've always been in a ground floor. Every single time I've experienced, I think I've experienced four, maybe.
Yeah. Last one.
They've always been in like my house here, which is a first floor thing. So I've never been in like a stadium.
Yeah.
So, so I don't, I think they're kind of fun actually.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, a lot of this, like, worry about earthquakes is performative by people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot
like
of
they're like the SJWs of natural disasters.
Wow. You know, I'm not going to accept those words into my mouth, but I'm going to listen. no, I feel like people are, you know, people will perform being scared of an earthquake, right? Because like little earthquakes, we get them all the time. Like they happen all the time and people just don't feel them or they don't think about them. Or if they do feel them, they're very small. Like, you know, your house is rolling or whatever, or like this one was a pretty big earthquake, and being a pretty big earthquake, the results from it were very small.
Mm-hmm.
It feels to me like people get scared performatively, like, oh no, an earthquake. I gotta, you know, I'm not from California. I don't know what an earthquake is. This is my first one. I'm very scared. And it is like, you know, I'm from California. I've felt tons of earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if a really bad earthquake happens, right, there's just nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Right? It's out of your hands, right? You know, prepare your house, right? This is not me saying, like, don't be prepared for an earthquake.
Yeah.
But this is me saying, like,
in the moment, there's nothing you can do.
In the moment, there's nothing you
can do. I mean, I feel like, I guess I have always felt like I've been pretty close just to the outdoors every time I've experienced one. So I feel like if I'm out in a sidewalk or a field and there's nothing over my head, I don't know what else should I be scared about in an earthquake?
So the stuff that just stuff that's over your head,
stuff falling on you, yeah, basically. Right?
So you stand in a, like, listen to, you know, your earthquake preparedness tips, stand in a doorway, get under a table, you know, that kind of thing. But like if your house collapses in an earthquake, like if the earth opens up and swallows you whole, like, you had a good run.
As a kid, you know? I used to think that's what an earthquake was the earth splitting open and you falling into that hole.
Yeah. Not quite.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if over the last 50 years that earthquakes are probably not, I'd like to see how much damage and injury and fatalities they've caused versus hurricanes, tornadoes, other regional natural disasters. I bet they're not as many as hurricanes.
Yeah. Oh, and I remember reading an article about like the big one that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like the worst thing that's going to happen is going to be the tsunami if it happens out in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
Right? The water could just like wash all of Seattle away.
So basically like a big one happens out in the ocean.
Yeah.
And creates a gigantic tidal wave of water movement coming to it. That's worse than like, you know, I know that like, during that World Series, like, you know, a whole baseball stadium fell apart or whatever.
Yeah.
I was on stage at the Upright Citizens Brigade performing with Baby Wants Candy, which I will be again this Friday at 7:30 p.m. for the last time before I go to Scotland. And none of that audience ran out.
Yeah.
So improv watching audiences are tougher.
Tough. These people are tough. I mean, to be totally fair, improv audiences are very, very hardy. They can put up with a lot of
stuff. They're also yes-anding the movement.
Yes, yeah.
They're just exactly. Like, oh, this is cool. I wonder if there's a thing of like being in a smaller audience while you are like at a summer league game, you can chat. Like you still sort of have your own agency while you're watching a game. During watching a live theater performance, you are a little bit more just like, I am in quiet watching mode.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's why they were less performative about their fear.
Also, to politely leave the UCB Sunset stage
difficult.
Is hard.
Difficult.
Very hard.
Yeah. The stage started shaking and the lights and the microphones started flickering, the microphones were swinging, and we heard like little whispers from the audience from the stage, and we weren't quite sure what was happening. And then we it was funny, it was in the show, we had just, the characters had just started to play like a rock concert. So we kind of tried to mention it. We never fully broke character. We kind of stayed in character the whole time, and then we just kind of kept going. But yeah, nobody left. What shows you got coming up this week?
I got two shows. Logan Everett's performing twice. On Wednesday night, we are playing at Dick Cannon's The Mystery of Space.
Mm.
And Thursday, we are back in action. The yearbook, ready to go. Logan Everett's yearbook. We took July 4th off, but it is now July 18th, Thursday, 8 p.m. at the Moving Arts Theater in Silver Lake.
Very good. I got Thursday Magic to Do at 7 at UCB and 7:30. Friday, Be Once Candy. And Saturday, I get on a plane and go to Edinburgh, Scotland.
He's heading to Edinburgh. We got some Voldemort going on.
I'm producing my friend John Accardo's magic show.
That's right.
And I'll actually be back August 10th.
Great.
So we actually won't miss much in terms of podcasting.
No.
And then I might go back again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You just haven't planned it out.
So I had to come back August 10th for some work.
Yeah.
And then if there's more work, I'll stay. If not, I'll go back to Scotland.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just decided as a producer that the sort of big boy adult producer behavior is to just be like, come back for the work. If you need to go back to Scotland, you just get on the plane and fly. Like, that's just a thing that you would do.
Yep.
As opposed to like, well, I already flew back. I don't want to fly back there.
Yeah. Like, you are saying, all right, I'm making the responsible decision. Whatever is paying me the most money. I mean,
the idea of like getting on a 12-hour flight to go back.
Yeah. Not fun.
It's not fun.
A little more fun if you got a good Nintendo Switch game to play.
Oh, such as?
I downloaded a fun game for 9 cents today called Membrane.
Oh, how's that?
It's pretty fun. Like a little bit of puzzle solving with building bridges and, you know, whatnot.
A lot of good deals on that Switch.
Great deals. Store. Also, a lot of really shitty games. So you got
to There's
be
a little
careful.
Bit of iOSification of yes. their yes. game library. I'm also kind of interested in that Switch Lite.
Oh. Oh. I mean, I think if you already have a Switch, there's no reason to get a Switch Lite.
Yeah, the only reason would be that Eric and I could both have our own.
Having two Switches, yes.
Now, the thing I would prefer than that is a cable that lets me hook up a Switch to a TV that isn't a dock.
Yeah.
I would love that.
That'd be great. Because I think they make little like mini cable docks, but they're like, some of them are bootleg.
So, a bootleg ones, off-brand. There is no official Nintendo solution for docking your Switch at a hotel room except to bring your dock.
Yes.
Which is like not a fun thing to pack.
No, it feels like a waste because it's so light and it takes up so much space.
And then you get home. We got home from Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
Our dock is not hooked up again. Because I'm just like, ugh, whatever. And also it just completely destroys the point of like, I just grab my Switch and go. Yep. Like, so anyway.
Yeah. So you buy a travel dock.
So I did not buy a travel dock, but off-brand one, the main reason I didn't was the most popular one on Nintendo, on Amazon, then started bricking people's Switches, like completely bricking them to where you had to send them back to Nintendo to get a new one.
That's a hard no.
Yeah. Especially at a time where this was before cloud saves.
Yes.
So hard
no on that.
Yeah. I did, however, purchase, I don't know if you saw this, they offered Nintendo old-style controllers.
Yeah.
I bought those.
Oh, and how do you like those?
They're fun. Because I've been playing, actually, the last week in Sydney, I spent a couple days playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Oh, Punch-Out's so good.
Which is harder than I remember.
Yes.
I can't remember who the hardest one was the one... Oh, Bald Bull. I couldn't get
bald
past Bald Bull.
Very tough. You really got to get the timing right on the Bald Bull rush punch.
The rush punch, I don't quite... It's 50-50.
Yeah.
And the problem is if you miss it twice, it's over.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I watched a... there's an event that happens every... actually, now it's like 3 or 4 times a year where speedrunners play video games for a long time.
Yes.
And there was a blindfolded Wii Punch Out.
Whoa.
And you can also watch people play blindfolded NES Punch Out, too. Which is pretty crazy.
You're just using sound?
Yes.
Are there sound cues for all their punches?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
That's cool.
So, you know, if you're a fan of Punch-Out, you know, definitely watch the blind Punch-Out challenges. It's really cool.
I think I will.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck to Chris Paul.
Yeah.
when he plays for the Shenzhen Sharks.
Oh boy, the cross country trades.
Yeah,
very excited.
Or you know, like NBA should start adding soccer style like loan outs.
Ooh,
year long like loans of players.
It'd be interesting.
What better way to make players feel like property than to loan them out the way that professional football does?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Catch you later.